Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Daniel, good to have you with us today. How are you doing?
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, all right.
And we're ready and raring to go.
That's right.
You know, before we start, because we want to talk about what's going on with coronavirus, you know, complications, and now they're talking about, watches are more like crazy and having these special passports and the airlines are for it. But before we do that, there's an executive order coming up. And it's been on again, off again. There's been a battle for a long time. And it's not an easy solution for the problem I think the government created. You know, is how do you rein in the power of the social media? Because it's not free market capitalism where they get this power. They happen to be in the pocket of the government. I see them as partners, and they provide a lot of services for them, and they have some immunity too, so they have to be reined in. But as soon as you rein it in, then the people who are meticulous, and we look at it this way too, is can they do that without violating the freedom of speech rules of other people? So I don't think there is an easy answer. So I think we should keep an eye on that and maybe talk about it later on. But today we understand that there's going to be an executive order.
Yeah, Trump is expected. He said he'll sign an executive order today. There have been some leaked versions of it that talk about how he's going to urge the FCC to re-examine this Section 230 of the 96 Telecommunications Act, which grants immunity to companies like Twitter and Facebook, recognizing them as carriers rather than publishers, and therefore not legally liable for what is put on their platforms. But of course, there is the issue of censorship, and I think that's what Trump's trying to address. There's no easy way out. We're going to try to find some solutions. Hopefully, we'll do a show next week. But, you know, Trump is partly right. They are acting as censors. They are acting as publishers. The problem is he seems just angry that they're doing it that hurts him. They're slapping labels on his tweets rather than a sort of a broad problem of, as you say, they're too closely tied with government in the South.
So it seems to me like we should have separation of state and the media community.
And the
completely,
internet.
Exactly. But there's too much collusion going on already. Anyway, you and I talked about this a little bit and looked at it on Zero Hedge because it's the ongoing scenario of the complications from the overreaction to the coronavirus. But this headline that Zero Hedge has is your, quote, immunity passport, close quote, future begins to materialize as airlines call for digital ID tracking. Can you believe this? Yes, we can. It's been talked about. We've talked about it a little bit. But now the airlines want it. But the airlines have never been, the perfect example for free markets. Yeah. I remember they were very much involved in security before 9/11. Yeah. And it was because of that that the airlines became dependent on the government and they weren't to resist and really set the stage for 9/11. So they haven't been there, but now they're calling for it. And there's one of their trade groups, IATA, has 299 airline people involved, and they want it. But they want protection. They want money. They want bailouts. So it's once again not part of the free market. So they're very much in bed. You know, even down to manufacturing. Think of when you get mixed up in airlines and building military aircraft, hauling military around, hauling whatever. I mean, I imagine the airlines, even when they're hauling people around, they're hauling a lot of stuff around for government. So this is this is something. But this tracking now will be done in the airlines like it. You know, and that means the government's supposed to take care of it, which I don't think is the right way to go, obviously. But the people that want this, I think that we'll all be safer. But, you know, after 9/11, the obsession was with terrorism. And they, instead of pointing out, as I tried my best to do, is point out what's the responsibility of the airline to provide the protection, not the government, because it'll get bureaucratic. And it turned out there has not been one example. I don't think we'll ever see the takeover of planes like this of terrorists, and yet look at what we lost. The penalty really fell on the American people. We still have the TSA, and it's on and on, everything. And all we have to do is terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. Now it's virus. It's a virus. It's a virus. It's a virus. Is coming. Oh, no, your numbers are getting better. But that's just a fluke. You know, it's not that good. It's much worse than you're saying. And you're un-American to say that the people aren't all going to die, from the virus. So now they're inviting one more thing. And I can guarantee you, and it probably won't take much to convince you, that what they do will not go away for a long, long time. It'll be a permanent thing. Just like, what are the odds of getting rid of the TSA? Zero. What are the odds that the TA will become more ruthless, more independent, and more ornery? And you put this together, you know, with the TSA, the trouble with the airlines, and then this thing. For some reason, it looks like they want to totally destroy aircraft transportation. And I don't know. I don't have much desire to make any trips right now. I'd have to see some improvements.
Well, here's how we know it'll be permanent, Dr. Paul. It's titled Temporary Biosecurity Measures.
Yeah.
That's how it is. But just like, as you say, the airlines love the implementation of the TSA because all of a sudden they weren't liable. They offloaded all the responsibility onto the federal government. It was basically like a welfare for them. But, you know, this really is globalism at its worst. So all of these 244 global airlines, International Air Transport Association, released this publication, Temporary Measures. And it includes all sorts of onerous things like contact tracing, temperature screening at airports, physical distancing, face covering, being tested for COVID upon entry to the airport. And so this, how I see this, maybe you see it differently, Dr. Paul, but I think they're going to make air travel so miserable that people are going to be clamoring for this immunity passport. The governments are creating the problem. Oh, it's so miserable. I got to get all this poked and prodded to get on a plane. Oh, here comes something really nice and neat. Check this out. Gates and Fauci love this. This is their big deal. So this is what they're going to do, an immunity passport, facial recognition, retina scans, fingerprints, all in it, your entire medical history. And actually, here's one of the companies that's working on it. We have a little clip of this, CovaPass, and this is ominous looking. Here's how it works. As a secure digital health passport, CovaPass links and displays a certified COVID-19 test result to the user's health and immunoresponse using a secure biometric gateway, allowing individuals to return to work and life safely. It's going to be RFID, it's mobile phone, many different ways, but that's interesting, the word work, because I think the airplane is the beginning of this. It's going to be everything. Got to go to church, got to go to work, do your COVID pass. It's like the USSR.
Yeah, and this was introduced, like I said, hysteria, which much of that was a serious concern on the terrorism thing. But the opening up the door and doing things that aren't related, they tested the TSA, and they flunked every test ever. Every time they planted something to see if they catch it, they never caught anything. So it's totally useless, but there's a lot of good jobs out there, and they're still working. And once they deal with infections, then they have to deal with all infections, so they have to have the total medical record, and to get this immunity pass, that will be in it. Bill Gates must be having a great time. He might be saying, see, I'm just a little old guy here with a couple bucks, and we're winning this. All these zombies, they just go along with anything we suggest.
Yeah,
all he has to do is hire a guy like Fauci.
Yeah.
But also, the other thing that always happens with this is if they can know about our social history and our medical history, what about our political history?
Yeah.
That's going to be tagged in there. I mean, who knows? They might even resent libertarians. They might say, what are you guys doing? You don't belong here. So this is really a dangerous thing. And right now, I think the momentum is against us for this, and you described it so well. You know, just get it over with and let us go. You mean I have the ticket? I can just get on the airplane. Oh, I just give them a little bit about my medical history, and that's important. We don't want people coming in this country that's sick, you know, this sort of thing. So all of a sudden, make me safe, make me secure, make sure I have a safety net, and government is a wonderful thing to have until the facts will prove that governments aren't very smart as a group, and they usually fail in what they do, whether it's a war overseas or a war against the American people or a war against a virus. They always fail.
Yeah.
But they always succeed. Some people argue with me, no, they're getting what they want. And some of these people are Marxists, and some people want to have the control. And if they can create this chaos, then they're quite pleased, because that's their opportunity, fear. And there's a lot of fear, even today, even with the statistics falling in our direction, you know, showing that this may be 80% over, you know, this sort of thing. And that there's an explanation for some of the statistics. And they do. That's one of the things I think has just been horrible, how they fudged the numbers and made it look. And the deaths from coronavirus, much less than they said. And it's very, and we mentioned this yesterday, much lower if you take into consideration the unusual circumstances of the nursing home, especially when we pushed people into the nursing home and didn't protect them. So this is, but in spite of that, there's still a lot of people that are terrified by this, and they have learned to be very complacent and dependent that government will take care of them. But we're moving into an era where the proof of our argument is going to be very, very strong. The governments fail. They fail in medical care. They're involved in medical care, and look at the mess they're making. Yeah. They're involved in airline travel, and look at what they're doing there. It's total failure. But the economy is failure. And oh yeah, well that's coronavirus. You know, coronavirus was sort of like a match.
Yeah.
And it made it much, much worse. But the swing in the business cycle is caused by, you know what, the monetary system, the Federal Reserve. And so the unemployment now, yes, it was aggravated and made worse and accelerated by coronavirus. But it's really a consequence of the boom-bust cycle by the Federal Reserve and the spending in Washington, D.C., which now, one thing that seems to be established is don't ever ask a question about spending. Don't ever bring up the subject of debt and deficit. And there isn't. Until when it is, that means that's a rush away from the dollar, and that's when we're going to have the price inflation, and there's not going to, and this will be all forgotten.
Yeah. But you make a great point about going back to this card just for a second, this immunity card. You know, they can put anything they want on it. We wouldn't even know. We know that when the FBI does reports on domestic terrorism, they often include liberty movement types, Ron Paul, people that are attracted to Ron Paul movement. They always put those in the category, and we've talked about it before. But what if they put other things in there? What if they put your psychiatric history? Maybe you had, you saw a psychiatrist. Oh, it comes out on you. We don't want this guy in the plane. What if you have an alcohol problem? Oh, we don't want this guy in the plane. What if you suffer from depression? Those people are not stable. We can't have them on the plane. So on and on it goes. It's just to make you safer. And, you know, it is enough to actually make you depressed to think about this, which is really when we're moving into our next subject, which we even have a little thing here, Dr. Paul. Coronavirus survey, one third of U.S. adults have symptoms of depression or anxiety. This is a new study of Americans' mental health in the coronavirus era. People are feeling very sick mentally.
And we've already talked about this on the program, and it's in the news, that there's a lot more suicide. I think in the last month there was last couple of weeks, as much suicide threats as there was in the past whole year.
The whole year in California,
so there's an epidemic. There's an epidemic of suicide. And it's understandable. And, you know, there is the fear that has been built up artificially over the virus, is one thing. And people do die when there's mistakes made, these collective mistakes like prohibition. You can't use the medications that are available and get involved in these things. And that is all made much, much worse by doing this. And The other thing is I believe from the people that I talk with who feel, really get down in the dumps are the ones who they're having trouble paying in their bills and sending their kids to school. You know, before the any of this came up, the stock market or coronavirus, there was a statement that, you know, only half the people have a couple thousand dollars enough for a month, you know, live on. It wasn't because they didn't believe in savings. Prices, you know, costs were going up, and it was difficult to do this. But now these same people that didn't have much to start, yes, things have been tided over with a couple checks from the government. But they're either lost, some lost their jobs or will lose their jobs, and they're frightened and a historic increase in unemployment.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if you have any sense of self-responsibility, you're going to be just miserable. You're going to be anxious and depressed over this. So the atmosphere here is not the natural fact that we live in a country where there's a lot of natural anxiety and depression. But some of this stuff happened in the Soviet Union, too.
Yeah.
They had a lot of psychiatric diseases and alcoholism and everything else. And we do, we're opioids. And so I think part of this atmosphere, and I put a lot of blame on the association between people who are supposed to be free and the obsession of the power, the people who want power in Washington, the authoritarians, because they love this type of atmosphere. Because what we're talking about, they're getting more authority. So they're going to probably, now there's a crisis now with too much anxiety and depression. Well, we need to do something about that, but they won't correct the problem.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the mainstream media, and I looked at several articles about this. It was a study of 40,000, survey of 40,000 Americans done in mid-May. 34.4 reported depression and anxiety. In some states, it was actually over 40%. Ironically, or not ironically at all, that these were the heaviest lockdown states that had the worst depression. But, you know, of course, the mainstream media blames it on the virus. Oh, fear of the virus. That's what's got everyone upset and depressed. But they'll never admit it was a fear of a government response to the virus. It was depression by the government forcing you to stay home, forcing you not to go out. Look at all the people, Dr. Paul, I'm sure you've seen, they couldn't even visit grandma in the nursing home because it's shut down, lockdown. And this happened over and over in the country. And now we're facing the possibility of food shortages and people losing their jobs. It's all a result of government action, overreaction to the virus, but they'll never admit that.
No, and that fits into the scenario what's happening up in Minnesota where the governor said, no elected procedures.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes an elected procedure, they labeled it that. Now, the individual that did that, they're recognizing that it was a mistake, and they admit it was a mistake, and we misused the word elective. We should have never used that because it sounded like it was unnecessary. Turns out that a lot of that was necessary, and now the consequences are there. People are suffering the fact that they got 2, 3, 4 months, and I personally know people like that. They got way behind on their cancer follows up, cancer testing, getting their x-rays done, and at the same time, the hospital beds became empty. You know, the big medical center, Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, they had to lay off a lot of people. So their wages went down. This is unbelievable. $1.4 billion of decrease in wages because of this overreaction. And it's all the consequence. You know, it makes me think about what Mises would argue. He says, when you do something, he didn't use these words, something stupid and you shouldn't do it, it's going to take 2 or 3 more things to correct it. So instead of it, and it doesn't solve the problem, so you just add on to more problems. That's typically what happened. Then they started rationing things and more people got sick. Oh, well, we need to send them more money. And it just goes on and on. They have no trust, no understanding about what liberty is all about. And therefore, they more or less have given up on it. But it's incessant. When I'm watch a television, as part of us, my responsibility to watch, how many times do you hear, well, we do this, whether it's in foreign policy or this type of thing, we have to make people free and healthy. We have to take care of people. That is our responsibility. Make people safe. And that, and I don't think the founders emphasized that in their debate with the Constitution. Yeah. They wanted to just turn people loose, or the colonists loose, and let them be alone, you know, let them take care of their own problem. But that's not the case. And it's just this dependency. And then you come up with a crisis which is totally magnified. No wonder people are depressed.
Yeah.
I get a little down when I just see another recommendation, another government spending. Mask. Spending doesn't happen. That's enough. We're the ones who ought to be depressed.
Yeah.
But I use that to energize myself. I have to work harder.
Work harder. And we actually, even for this last segment, we have a little segment here. And the reason why it's worth putting up really is the subtitle, if we have that next one. Health Department admits that Waltz's order, this is Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, prevented, quote, really important surgeries. Here's the health commissioner. She said if she could turn back time, she'd change the wording of his order that prevented really important surgeries. You know, Dr. Paul, we have on our site today an article by our friend Stuart Jones. He's a state rep in South Carolina. And he writes about, it's a powerful piece, it's worth looking at. He writes about a constituent who called him in tears and in panic. His wife was dying. She's on an IV drip. She desperately needs medical care. And the hospital won't take her because they had to clear the way for the corona patients
that never showed up.
So it's has happened across the country. As you say, we know people very close that it's affected. And here we have Tim Walz kicking people out of the hospital. Executive Order 20/09, which caused a lot of serious surgeries to be canceled. The word elective is misinterpreted and misunderstood. But this happened across the country, and I don't know if you saw this, Dr. Paul, but Cuomo in New York might be in some hot water because he got some big campaign donations from these retirement homes right before he gave them immunity for killing all the people.
Gee.
So there's a lot that's still going to come out in the wash on this.
There you go. You know, this whole issue of fear, I think, is the big thing. Beef up the fear, scare the people, and the people will, you know, go along with this. And even what we talk about here makes people nervous. Look, this is a lot of bad things that we've talked about here, but we're pointing them out. Actually, some they're just getting ready to do. And I think over the years that we've worked together, we've generally talked about things that we're anticipating, whether it's trying to keep people in the country to support going to a war or doing these kind of things and stop the TSA, all these things we try to. So yes, a lot of this is negative in the sense that you don't feel good. Oh boy, they're just talking about all the problems. It is true. But we also talk about the important answer to this. And it isn't in founding government. People have to assume responsibility for themselves. And to me, the other reason to be optimistic is the evidence is out there, the proof that they are total failures in what they're doing in foreign policy, monetary policy, and how to take care of a virus, which was very dangerous, turning it over to government bureaucrats and forgetting about the association of medicine and health between doctor and patient. What happened to the doctor-patient relationship? We have to go through Gauci and Bill Gates in order to get the medication we need, and they empty the hospitals and still take care of them. Why do we put up with this stuff? And fortunately, though, we are seeing now, even in our own little hometown here, people going out and say, enough is enough. We want to take our kids to the park. You know, holy man. So this is good. The answers are there. I am a very, very strong optimist that if we endorse the principles of liberty, our problems go away. And the principles of liberty are not complex. Just leave us alone, and the incentives will build. You know, you mean I have to go to work today?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to wait for my check. No, the incentive is assuming responsibility, and there would be a lot more prosperity. There would be no inflation. Everybody would have to take a job, and they would because they wouldn't be getting a check. So, and then there'd be, and American people are very charitable. There would be more charity, be more money in their pockets instead of sending it to the government. So there's so many arguments on the benefit of liberty. And the one that I like the best is bringing people together, liberals, conservatives, moderates, and libertarians, to bring people together on the things that they agree with, because most people want to do their thing. They want their own things to do, so and it's their own lives. If we could just let people see that it's a principle, that's your life, you own it, and you ought to be able to control it.
Yeah, that's exactly it, you know. And And you did touch on one thing that I wouldn't mind closing out on, if that's okay, and it's something interesting that happened. But first, I want to do something that's kind of funny, if we can put up the next clip, Dr. Paul, because we need a laugh after this kind of depressing show. But this is a tweet that someone put out, Nick Rizzuto. New York City is allowing you to hang out at the beaches but not swim. California is allowing you to swim but not hang out at the beaches. Both claim science is guiding their policies. I thought that was kind of a good one. But we did have a little action here. There's a group that's formed in Missouri County. They're called the Park Patriots, and they're going around to these parks that are closed down. We talked about it last week, and they're taking down the tape, and they're challenging the officials. What is the law? What is the basis for you closing this park? We have a couple of pictures, because right after we did our show yesterday, I went out to Angleton, where they had a little demonstration. If we could start putting, there's a couple of them. Here's how they started. They took down this horrible orange tape, this orange fencing, and then they let their kids play. Let's go to the next one. Here's where it belongs, right there in the trash, Dr. Paul. So the kids went out there. Let's go to the next one. They were breaking through the caution tape on the swings, having a good time. And then the next one. And then guess what happened? It's the same thing that happened in Lake Jackson last week. The city workers called the police. The people who have their salaries paid by us residents called the police on these kids, on these parents. And the police showed up, and it was fascinating because just like in Lake Jackson, they knew their rights, and they knew what they were standing for, and they questioned the police. He came in there very strong and very heavy. In fact, he had "We the People" tattooed on his arm. And one of the parents said, "Well, this park is for We the People, like you have on your arm." You know, and they told him, "This is not a law. This is a guideline that you can't enforce it. It's a guideline." And in fact, after they educated the officer, he turned around and walked away. And it was kind of a standoff for a while. And then he had to come back and he said, "You know what? We talked to the chief of police." He said, you guys can play in the park. And it was another victory, two victories in a row. And so it just goes to show, in a small way, it didn't change the world, but in a small way, everyone felt great. All the parents were congratulating themselves and super happy. The kids were ecstatic. They got a pretty important civics lesson, you know, which homeschoolers get. And it's just a little way of fighting back and reclaiming some of our rights and some of our liberties. So it was great. I was out there with them, and it was just great to be part of it.
Very good. Homeschooling is a good idea. That's why I put a lot of time and effort in the Ron Paul homeschooling curriculum, too. But I just want to close rather quickly right now, because I like to keep things as clear-cut as possible in understanding this. But if we're dealing with this, we talk about liberty and we talk about what the power is of government and what they can and can't do and what the Constitution says. But if you want to summarize it, I think it's have two words: voluntarism, where people do everything voluntarily. Both sides have to agree, and that's the way the economy is supposed to work. But all social activity and all foreign policy activity should be that too. Voluntarism versus authoritarianism. What we have been witnessing is the authoritarians in government and creating this crisis unnecessarily. At the same time, we see the answer coming from voluntarism. Nobody was forcing these kids to go out and go for a swing and use the swings in a park. So I vote for voluntarism. I vote against the authoritarianism, which is arbitrary, unnecessary, if you're interested in a free society. And what we should understand, if you want peace and prosperity, that's where you'll find your answer. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.